Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Couple things to talk about. You already know them. The new book is very shortly out. I got my proof yesterday. So the proof is in the mail. I'm just going through it, flipping through it. I have sent that proof off to someone very special. And keep your fingers crossed. It'd be an amazing thing if that happens. But anyway, the new book, The Cognitive Rampage, we changed it. It's no longer a dose of authentic revelation. It is a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and optimization, because that's what it is. It's based in all four different of the impactful sciences, if you ask me, biology, environmental science, the epigenetic influence, the cognitive influence, and the social influence as well. So Dollar Mental Health Club is also going to launch. Dollar Mental Health Club, you've heard about it a lot, is changing the paradigm. Is what I'm attempting to do with this, is change the paradigm of mental health by offering mental training. Mental training, what that is giving you literal tools and strategies to apply in the present for any part of your life. Not about going into your childhood. It's not diagnosis management. It's literally giving you something that you can use and implement right then and there in the moment. So I will be the trainer on Dollar Mental Health Club when it first launches April 2nd. April 2nd is also the day we leave for tour. April 2nd is the day the medication adjustment tour begins, and I leave from Orlando driving straight across to LA. That's the leg, if you will. Then after we finish the leg in LA, I'm looking forward to taking about a week off and driving up the Pacific Coast Highway to go see all my people in Seattle, all my functional patterns, and my brother Naughty. Thanks for last night, by the way, Naughty, talking to me about what I was experiencing last night. And I'll probably end up coming on Front Street about what happened to me last night and a couple previous Sundays ago, too. But that's all sad. But the medication adjustment tour, we, or myself, if you will, in a fifth wheel and a truck only, no hotels, no nothing, staying in the fifth wheel, literally turning the fifth wheel trailer behind me into a podcast studio, if you will. And I'm driving. I'm going to all the universities, the major universities that we stop at. I'm looking to interview the experts, the teachers, the educators, because I want to get the facts and the newest research about the top mental health diagnosis. And you know what those are: depression, anxiety, PTSD, bipolar, ADHD, and addiction. I want the facts. No more wondering who said what or waiting on stretched out interviews to get someone's opinion. I'm trying to get the facts from the teachers, from the labs, from the researchers, because people need to know it. It affects millions of you out there, including myself from time to time. So I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to reveal those facts, and we're adding new bloggers to the Cognitive Rampage site. You can go to cognitiverampage.com, adamlowry.com. So many people are getting involved in the tour that I'm just so looking forward to it. And again, we're pulling out April 2nd, and we'll be landing in LA by May 2nd. So if you're along the way, hit me up. Let me know. I'm giving my speaking away free. So any organization, any place, any team, any whatever, any company, you want me to come in and talk, I'm waiving all my fees for this tour across the country. Because, well, frankly, when I was on Joe Rogan, I got asked if this is happening in every facility, etc. So I'm going to go find out. I want to literally be able to say I've been coast to coast to answer these facts and find the research, etc. So on to the guest. The real reason you listen anyway, not for all the promos. I would love to give you a new intro, but I think the intro I'm going to give you is going to be just enough to make you go, what the fuck? Because the truth is, when I heard about Sarah Hornsby, who's the guest from Ashley Kramer, who was just on the podcast, I said, what the fuck? I went, what is myofascial tongue therapy? Okay. All right. I'm listening. But if you know Ashley as well as I got to know him and some of the stock that he comes from and some of the people that he associates with, I have to listen. So I am in and I'm excited. I'm listening with an open mind. And rather than try to explain to you in my layman's terms, almost like I tried to do back when I introduced Naughty on episode 66, in my layman's terms of what he was doing in FP, I will not attempt to give you a layman's introduction to what the myofascial therapy and tongue therapy really is. I'm going to allow my guest, Sarah Hornsby, to do so. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage, Sarah. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. You did pretty good. The word is actually myofunctional therapy, but that's okay.
Oh, well, I think I got to correct that then. We even have it posted as myofascia.
Oh, really? Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. Yeah. Most people get it wrong. And the field, I think when I introduce it, that's one of the main things that I tell people is there's three words you're going to hear for this field. It's myofunctional therapy, oral facial myology, or tongue thrust therapy.
And they're all, I think I was looking at
horrible descriptions.
Okay. Well, I think maybe that's where I'm saying myofascia because I'm all FP'd out right now. But
that's
the,
okay.
Then I'll have to change that post. That is totally our fault on our end. But so
I didn't see it, or I would have told you. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I'm a writer, not an editor, people. So if I happen to spell the word accept differently on a post, well, then just accept that. All right. Because I'll fix that. Sorry. That was addressing a couple people yesterday. But before we get into that, sometimes what I figure a lot about is how you got there is by learning your story, where you came from, how you grew up, what you experienced, and what led you to this new age therapy, if you will.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. And so I figured we'd get into that. But yeah, I'm a dental hygienist. That's my training. So my traditional schooling, I went to school for 5 years. I have a bachelor's degree in dental hygiene. And it didn't take me very long in the field to realize, like, I don't think I can do this the rest of my life. I think, you know, there's got to be something else out there. I have no idea what it is. But my first job was really hard. My first dental hygiene job, I worked in an office that it was like a big fancy office with, like, I was one of five hygienists and there were two doctors, and it was making a lot of money. This practice was really like one of those dental offices you look in from the outside and you're like, that's where I want to work. But on the inside, it was tough. And so I was, you know, brand new and shiny out of dental hygiene school and naive. And I started working there, and dental hygienists, you know, this, I think I was 23 when I graduated from school and I got my first job, and there, it's a pretty good pay. You know, I came out of school and this job offer was $45 an hour. And I was like, wow, I've made it. This is awesome. You know,
I've arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. But the office was tough. So just the dentist, I mean, she was a good businesswoman and a good dentist, I'm sure. But the way she treated people wasn't great. And it didn't take me long working there to just realize, like, I can't do this. Because
isn't dentistry like right up there with the air traffic controllers and suicide?
Probably. I've heard that before. I'm sure it is, because, I mean, for me, as a hygienist, my job is basically to inflict pain on people all day and make them feel comfortable while doing it. And so, I was really good. I was really good at it. I made people feel comfortable all the time. And my patients loved me and they requested me and they wanted to have me work with them. But it is energy draining to just pour yourself into people and knowing at the same time you're writing this fine line of like, okay, I have to use these sharp instruments. I have to inject you with this needle to get your gums numb.
So
and
they start drilling you with, so do you ever do any fishing?
Yeah.
Please hold still, please. Please hold still. I'm so stealing that from a stand-up of a very bad guy. But yeah, I mean, no, I get that, right? Because yeah. You're dealing with needles. You're dealing, I'm going to sit there with my mouth open for like 2 hours. Yeah, I guess. I can see, right? You only want certain people. I mean, whose hands do you really want in your mouth anyway? I kind of want to know the person, right?
Yeah, really. No, so yeah, I thought it was good. But then I would say about 6 months into it, I mean, Sunday nights, I would start getting anxiety thinking about work on Monday, and just like, not because of the patients. The patients are what kept me going. I loved working with the people, but it was the office environment that was really, really just hard. And I remember sitting in the parking lot on Monday mornings, like trying to just gather up, or even any day of the week, trying to just not cry, feeling sick to my stomach and just being like, I can't go into work. And I know I'm just going to get picked apart by my boss. And I know it's just going to be horrible. So pretty recent into my career, I was looking for what else can I do? What can I do with a bachelor's degree in dental hygiene? I have no idea. So I thought maybe I'll go to dental school. You know, maybe I can go get an MBA and be like a Invisalign rep or something, you know, or Sonicare rep, something like that.
I can so relate to you, because those years and being a therapist, sitting in the parking lot, you know, having to hype myself up going, all right, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to help people. I got to do this and try. I mean, it pushed me to a dark place being a therapist for so long in such, you know, corrupt environments and negative environments. I get that feeling. Was that the feeling for you? Was it more like that?
Yeah, I had that a lot. And it is, I think, in any part of healthcare, there's this fine balance between we're trying to help people, but we're also trying to make money doing it. And a dental office is a good example of that, where people are pretty skeptical. They think, oh yeah, the dentist just needs a new car. That's why I need all these crowns, you know? So,
Hey, I'm that dude. I'll tell you a story, okay? It's a little brief story. I'll keep it short. But I too have issues with dentists, damn it. Now, they all say that until you need one really badly. But I was headed down to lobster season in the Keys and way looking forward to it on a vacation. And I started getting terrible pain, my back left jaw. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. I had the wisdom teeth pulled like fucking, I don't know, 7 years ago. And I'm just in pain. And I'm like, well, look, I'm not going to go have surgery. The one dentist said, you know, root canal, do the whole thing. And I'm just like, no, it's not a fucking root canal. I'm going to disagree, sir. And for one, I just didn't want surgery before I'm down there breathing on regulators and shit. So I saw two more dentists and got the same thing, that you need a root canal. I even went further, and I have a family member who's an actual dentist who's well-known, one of those practices you're talking about where it's beautiful.
Exactly. Right?
I went to Uncle So-and-so, and he goes through it, and he's explaining to me. They got all the funky new definitions of what they call it, and he's explaining it to me and got the little chart out and shit, and he's showing me, and I refused. I'm like, bullshit. I said, there's a little piece of something in there. I can feel it. And they're like, no, that's natural. Gave me all the bullshit. Man, 3 days later, I'm waiting at the house, and I kept wiggling on that little piece of my tongue, and a piece of, like a little piece of tooth or something popped out of there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a bone spur. If you had your wisdom teeth removed, it's common, and they can come out like years later.
See? And I was sitting there, and then my pain was gone, and I was going, motherfuckers wanted to rake me up with a $1,500 root canal at four places, including family. And it threw me off. I was like, I was saying that. They just put me in the system, ran me through the routine. This is the symptoms. Here's the thing. Here's what's wrong with you.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't see it in an x-ray. I mean, I'm sure they x-rayed you extensively, so I don't know why, but.
They're tripping, man. I knew it.
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, not every office is all about the money, but that is always an underlying element no matter what you do, because a dental office is, it's there to help people, but it's also there to make money. It's someone's business. It's the dentist's sure. business. I mean, I'm in healthcare and my business is myofunctional therapy. So it's impossible to get away from, it's really impossible to get away from that.
Well,
but
I keep jumping in all personally. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I like it.
When talking to people is how you make money. Mm-hmm. When being a therapist literally is how you make money, and either your friends or friends of a friend, they drop your number and then they call you and it's like, hey, my friend so-and-so needs to talk to you, man, need help. And I am just giving that shit out. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. I mean, my friend's a mechanic. Can I just take my car over to you and be like, hey, man, this is what you do. You mind just fixing this shit for me real quick?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I relate.
I get that with dentists, doctors, everybody alike, man. It's hard to take, and especially I want to help people. Like I want to give it out and help, and then you start to go, wait, I'm fucking hungry right now. Wait a minute, who can I call? And hey, man, you're a chef, right? You sell food, man. You mind hooking me up or something?
Yeah, yeah. If the world worked that way, right?
maybe one day we'll be at that. Yeah. That Venus barter system project.
That would be awesome. But yeah, the dental offices, I mean, there's always going to be an average price of a filling or a crown. And, you know, you can kind of figure that out if you were to, you know, see what is it in 10 different offices in my area. If they're charging like way more than that, then that's probably a sign that it's more about the money. But in this office for me, where I was working, the dentist would literally tell me in the morning, you're seeing 9 patients today. You need to get 3 people scheduled for crowns, and you better find something that, you know, like feel around the old ones. Like we could take our instruments and kind of poke and prod and feel,
you know,
maybe there's some soft areas. Like you might need this crown replaced, or, oh, this filling looks old. It's an amalgam one. It's an old one. We should get you in to replace that. So
motherfuckers. So they're poking going, do you feel any pain there? Well, I do. Yeah, you're shoving a sharp object in
it's
my
not,
gums.
Yeah, it's not all. I don't want to make it sound like all dentists are like that. But the one I worked for, it was on me as the hygienist who spends an hour with every person, and I build rapport. I connect. I make them feel comfortable. I get them to, you know, I'm
the
first
sales.
Line. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that was my role, is like, I had to get people, oh, you need to come back for this. You need to come back for that. Oh, you need to whiten your teeth. You know, it was always about the upsell. Oh, and we sell Sonicares, and oh, you really need this too.
Wow. I can see this is good, though. You're talking about this because I can see people going, what are you bitching about? You're making 45 an hour. You don't want to go to work and you have a great job. What are you doing? But the more you walk into this, I can see now to where you're sitting there almost like I was. I was a therapist. I hadn't even graduated, full time therapist, salary, all the things. Right. And I'm going, I should be happy. I accomplished this, but I'm going in there into Corruptville. I'm going to go in there and sell them some shit, man. And I couldn't live like that.
Yeah, I know. And it's always that fine line too of like, well, this is a good job. I should be grateful. I should be happy. You know, other people are worse off than me. And you can convince yourself that it's okay, even though I'm miserable and I'm getting paid $45 an hour. So it's okay. I should be happy. I should be thankful, you know,
yeah,
and that's not a way
me.
To live. Yeah.
People with families that go, I got kids to take care of.
Yeah. And I didn't have that, but, that's even an extra layer, that adds to that, like, I just need to suck it up and just go to this job I hate. So, I ended up finding in a fluke, I was looking for some CE credit that I had to take. And I was looking in the back of a dental hygiene magazine. I mean, you can't even imagine what's in dental hygiene magazines. It's like so boring, right? and I was looking at this ad in the back and it was talking about change your career as a hygienist and do this thing called myofunctional therapy. And it was this little tiny ad. And I thought, maybe that's a scam. I don't know. It seems like this, I've never heard of this. I'm just out of school. I should be like, you know, cutting edge as far as education and knowledge about the field goes. But, you know, I do want to change my career and it says I can do that. So the course is in 2 weeks. Maybe I'll just pay the $2,300 and go to it. And so I did. And I still thought it was a scam.
I was going to say, like, that's some brave shit, man. An ad.
I was desperate.
I was going to say, that's some, the last thing, I think I had a trip booked for me to Belize in a city called Dangriga. And it was a tiny little black and white ad in the back of Florida Sports. And by the time I'm getting picked up by a yellow F-150 and 50 people in the truck, I'm starting to be like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? I think I'm about to disappear here. But you paid the money anyway, and you went for it.
Yeah, I was desperate. I paid the money. I was like, okay, this better change my career because that's what they said it was going to do. And I need something else. And so I went, it was at a hotel in SeaTac, like by the airport, nothing fancy. And it was like in a kind of a small conference room. There were like six other hygienists and maybe another speech pathologist. And like, it was so unbelievable. And I thought this, and I still was skeptical of it. But the one saving thing was that I was sitting there in that class and I realized that I had the symptoms myself. And I thought, okay, if I've fallen through the cracks and I've been in dental hygiene school, like we learn looking in each other's mouths, at each other's teeth, at each other's symptoms. That's how we learn, you know? And,
good point.
If I
good
got
point,
missed.
Because the therapists sure aren't talking to therapists most of the time.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like we choose to go like, I don't need that. I'm fine. Right. So you make a great point. It's not like you guys are coming in saying, lay in the chair, Sarah, let me check you real quick.
That's how we learn. I mean, you have a partner and first you clean their teeth and they clean your teeth. When we learn how to give injections, the first person I ever poked in the mouth with a needle was my lab partner and vice versa. And it's like, that's how we learn. So I thought if I got missed, there's got to be other people out there who have the same things that I have. And
what symptoms are we talking about? Walk me through that. You're sitting there and you're learning and you're getting hit with this holy shit, that's me thing.
Yeah, exactly. So the most common symptom, and it sounds, I mean, I was horrified when I figured this out because I thought this can't be true, is that people with myofunctional disorders, the main thing that the big symptom is that their tongue will rest in the bottom of their mouth versus the top. And usually that means they're resting with their mouth in an open posture. So that means I was pretty much walking around with my mouth open all day and I didn't even know. And I was horrified. I thought, oh my gosh. And when I say mouth open, it doesn't have to be like gaping open. I mean, you'll see kids with a gaping open mouth, but if your lips are apart and maybe you breathe through your mouth, maybe you breathe through your nose, your tongue will always be resting low. And that's what has a ripple effect into everything else, which I'll definitely talk about more.
Let's walk back through slowly because I'm new to this class. I'm new to this class. So mm-hmm. I got a little basis along the way. So what you were looking at is resting the tongue, just basically lazily just laying it, letting it sit there. Mm-hmm. And that would then weigh the jaw down, I assume, a little bit to keep the mouth open just a tad, even, you know, to where like my mouth may be open, but you can't tell, like my lips are still closed, etc.
Exactly. So we should all rest our mouths with our lips together. Our tongue should be filling up the entire top jaw. You should be able to feel like the tip of your tongue basically probably making contact with the upper front teeth, like here, maybe a little bit behind. And then from there, your tongue should flow up and it should be making contact. Like if this is the roof of your mouth, your tongue is here. It should be completely filling up that space. If you do that, it seems like, duh, you know, that's normal. It is normal, but if you are a child who grew up with allergies, a lot of kids do, like I did. If you sucked your thumb, if you had like tonsil and adenoid issues, a lot of kids do. They have to get their tonsils out. You probably, really, it's anything that causes it to be difficult to breathe through your nose. So even asthma.
So even anybody, if you had 14 broken noses, like this piece of machinery right here on my face, I mean, and having trouble breathing that way, and you're a mouth breather at night, these are all kind of symptoms that you're really resting this tongue in the poor posture, the jaw, et cetera, in the poor place.
Exactly. So it mostly affects people because of growth. So if you're a kid who breathes through your mouth, your face develops differently than if you were a kid who breathes through your nose.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't know why this isn't like parenting 101. Like children should not breathe through their mouths. It really should be that obvious. If your kid is breathing through their nose, you need to help them figure out what's going on. You know, why can't I breathe through my nose? Because what happens is, and I have the facial structures to prove it as much as I hate it. You end up with a narrower, longer face. Flatter facial features. I mean, everybody's varying degrees of it. I'm not saying I have like hideous symptoms or anything like that, but you know, a more angled jawline, narrower jaws, and you're more likely to have sleep apnea. So if you're a kid who mouth breathes, you're probably going to be an adult who has sleep apnea at some point.
Holy shit. And that kills people. That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this is something that I didn't learn in school. And I thought, well, that's because I'm a hygienist. I'm not a dentist. The dentist must know this stuff. Well, dentists don't know it either. And so I spend a lot of my time these days educating dentists, orthodontists, pediatricians, pediatric dentists. I teach them and they defer to me about these issues that their patients have. And they're like, I don't know about this. I didn't learn about this in school. And I'm like, okay, this is a huge gap in the industry. We think as dental people, oh, that must be a speech pathology thing. The speech therapist must deal with that.
I can see I can see. Yeah. Who's the fucking specialist here?
Exactly. Yeah. So come to find out, the speech therapist think, oh, that's a dental thing. And so it really falls in the cracks. And really all it is a breathing issue. Usually, there's other like complications, like a tongue tie, for example. A tongue tie or restricted lingual frenum is basically when the bottom of your tongue, which should be free and you should be able to move your tongue around, is like more attached tightly to the floor of your mouth. So it's a genetic defect. If you've ever heard of like the MTHFR gene, it's a direct hereditary genetic mutation that some people have. And about 5% of the general population has it. So
walk me through the gene a little bit. Walk me through what that means, what it symbolizes and represents.
It's, I wish I knew a little bit more. I know about the tongue tie aspect of it, but it has to do with autoimmune issues. I think it's the same gene that's affected with Down syndrome and cleft palate. And
so there could potentially be learning developmental issues with children who experience something like, you know, this gene.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. We just don't know yet. There's not enough people studying.
Yeah, we don't know. And there's a lot about this gene. It has to do with folic acid and folate and like having, I don't want to even try to talk about it because I just don't know enough.
No worries. Yeah. You're not a biogeneticist.
I get that.
So where I'm at now, so I'm just going to go back to square one. So we're walking through class with you.
Yeah, sure.
Is I'm recognizing that I have either a lazy placement with my tongue or I'm breathing through my mouth more than I need to be anyway. And what are some of the negative effects that other than what you've discussed about continuing to walk this way or keeping my mouth or tongue this way?
Well, for me, the big thing was orthodontic relapse. So that just means like I had braces when I was a teenager and now my teeth they've moved. So I noticed that in myself. I thought, well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it was like 10 years ago. I had braces and I wore my retainer and my teeth just kept shifting. So if your tongue is low, it's not providing the internal support system for the upper jaw. So that upper jaw should be this shape. And when your tongue is there, it is. But when your tongue is down low, the upper jaw gets narrower and narrower, and the front teeth become look, they look, they start to look more crooked. But what's really happening is the jaw is getting narrower, and that's really what puts us at a high risk for sleep apnea.
It's just kind of pulling the whole fucking thing down like that.
Yeah, well, I can show you on my handy little mouth model here because this is what I use all the
Okay, yeah,
time.
I'm in.
If you open your mouth, we have this nice U-shaped dental arch. That's what we call it.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yep, you have straight teeth and it looks like this. Perfect. And your tongue should be making all of these points of contact across your upper jaw. If your tongue is down here, this whole arch has no support and it doesn't form right, actually. If you're a kid who grows up with your tongue low, you probably have crooked teeth, you probably have breathing issues, and you'll probably have sleep apnea when you're an adult. So
Wow, I mean that's oh that is tripping me out because well I got this one little snaggle tooth right here that's like my little I'm not changing it ever because I don't want to be like the lady from Dirty Dancing who fixed her nose and lost her career. So I keep my little crooked tooth. So I kind of wonder, you know, about I also have a rather larger than normal tongue. Like I can literally put my tongue like here on the top of my nose. It's weird.
a lot of people think they have really big tongues, but they're actually just normal. So I'm sure you're
Okay.
fine.
Okay, well, it's weird. Well, I can touch the top of my nose. Like, it's weird. So, what do you mean by that? So, they're all really the same size, or it's normal? What's that mean?
Well, what happens is, and I was kind of listening when you were doing the intro talking about epigenetics, is there's a big aspect of what I do that's really an epigenetic issue. So now I can see you're really like, what? Whoa.
I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to, I mean, go back 100 years or 200 years, not that long ago, people didn't need braces and they definitely didn't need myofunctional therapy and they didn't have sleep apnea. So what's happening is in modern societies, and the more industrialized the country, the more these issues exist. Is our skulls are changing, our jaws are changing, and the structure that we see as what a normal human skull looks like is not what it looked like 200, 300, 400 years ago. We had all our teeth and they were straight. We could breathe easily through our noses. We had a completely different structures, and they relate this to how much our food has changed and how much, like, I mean, think about how many people have allergies. We have all these allergies and food sensitivities, and so they're not quite sure why all that's happening, but it's not our actual genes mutating like fast. It's all these external things causing our genes to switch on or switch off or whatever. And you know, our jaws are changing, our everything's changing. There's a Weston Price thing that talks about the evolution of the human skull, and he talks about just, you know, those changes that are happening and how it's so fast. You know, over 3 generations, you can see a grandparent who has like straight teeth, round, like forward facial features, and then the parent, and then the grandchild, and it's completely different facial structures from over 3 generations. So,
Wow. So
yeah,
no
it's crazy.
evolutionary span of a century here. We're seeing changes like this
Or
in
like millennia, yeah.
yeah. Like, oh my God. Like,
Yeah.
okay. So the implications I still wanna oh yeah. So I'm just I don't know, am I closer to lizard people still that I still have a longer tongue, or is it really just the
Oh
normal
yeah, so
size?
we can look at your tongue. This is what I do for my job. I always joke that I like make faces at people all day. But basically, if you open your mouth really wide and reach your tongue up to your top teeth, like, there you go. So that's your frenum underneath. Now, for what I do to check is I have people trace their tongue backwards along the roof of their mouth all the way towards their throat, and you should be able to feel like the soft palate area back there. There you go.
Bro,
You
I
can do
could
it.
choke
So.
myself with this tongue. This
Yeah,
shit's like
yeah.
this
So
long, man.
your tongue is not restricted, which is good. That means you can rest your tongue properly in the roof of your mouth. You can swallow properly, and you can probably breathe through your nose. I haven't noticed that you're breathing through your mouth while we're talking, so I think you're fine.
It's just been broke so much. I forget what side it's on sometimes. You can flick that thing and it goes to another one. So really, my nose is just low set, damn it. I just have a low set nose, not a long tongue, is what you're telling me.
It could be. It's hard to say. Also, I mean, it depends on a lot. I mean, some people can like stick their tongue out and like practically touch their chin, but then they can't move it the other way.
Yeah,
So,
I can lick the bottom of
but
my
your tongue
teeth.
doesn't look giant. Your tongue is
All right.
normal.
So let's say someone did have an issue with the breathing, right? So what would be the step for them? I mean, you can't cut the piece off the tip, right? I mean,
No.
how do you work around something like that?
Well, the very first thing I tell people is when you start working with me, your number one goal is we have to get you to breathe through your mouth or your nose, not your mouth. You don't want to breathe through your mouth. So, whether that means taking some type of allergy medication, which I'm not big on, because I don't like how they feel for me, but there's things you can do like a neti pot, if you've ever heard of this. It's like a little teapot that you can pour in one nostril, like saline solution, and water comes out the other side, which is supposed to help clear your nose. You can do There's some natural nasal sprays you can use. Troubleshooting allergies, finding out what am I allergic to? Am I allergic to animals and my cats and dogs sleep on my bed all day while I'm at work? Stuff like that. There's a lot you can try to help yourself breathe better, or you might just need to go see an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they might tell you, oh, you've got a severely deviated septum, or you've got enlarged turbinates, and but there's a reason. There's a reason underlying why somebody would have a tongue thrust or a low resting tongue or any of these, and it's usually a breathing issue. So solving that breathing problem will then help. With your tongue position and resting with your lips together, and all these things that I teach people how to do. So
All right, so again, I'm circling back. I squirrel us
that's
off, is what I
okay.
do.
No,
So
I'm kind of
we're
tangenting
welcome to the rampage. So
too. So.
we're sitting there, we're learning about tongue placement, where it's at. This is just the beginning, right, of where you're walking into, going, those are some of my symptoms. Are there anything else that you start to learn that are symptoms that you were showing based on? Because I'll get into the bad parts of what happens from this, but is there
Yeah.
anything else?
Not for me specifically. I think the biggest thing for me being I think like most people in general, and maybe women especially, I don't know, we're conscious or self-conscious of how we look. And I thought, how did I go through my entire childhood and my mom never noticed that I had my mouth open when I was a kid, And how did I get this far in life without ever noticing it myself? And I was just like, I felt, betrayed by the system. And I just thought, this is crazy. Like, how did I end up with these things? And what would my facial structure look like if I was a kid who had my mouth closed and my tongue in the right place? How would my face as an adult look? Because through those growth years, that's when it's the most important for these habits to be noticed and seen. Because our faces will literally look completely different than if we grew up with our mouth closed versus open. So.
Yeah, man, I could have been prettier than this, man. Like just by adjusting my face or whatever. So, let's so keep walking me through your experience of the class, actually, as you were sitting there, as what you were learning. Yeah.
I was sitting in that class and I left that class and I thought, I learned a lot, but this is going to be really hard. I want to do it, but I had never owned a business. I didn't come from a family of business owners. My dad was like the stereotypical like Boeing employee who works there for 35 years and retires with a pension and not like a risk taker, not like let's just throw all caution aside and start a business, So, I didn't have anyone to kind of ask about like, well, what do I do if I don't want to be a hygienist anymore and I want to do this new field and become this new type of therapist? How do I get started? And that was really the hard part. So, actually, it was so hard. Now, a lot of what I do today is mentoring other hygienists who want to go through this process like me. And I help them start their own businesses and work with their patients and kind of build up the confidence it takes to go from being an employee in a steady, stable job to being an entrepreneur, basically, in a field that most people don't know about. So,
God, hell, I don't know about it. I'd never heard of it.
yeah, most dentists don't know about it. So, yeah, it's definitely not mainstream knowledge. But if you Google it, you'll be surprised all the information out there. You just have to know what to look for.
Or if you have a podcast and you have Sarah Hornsby on your
Exactly.
podcast, and then so is all of this basically relating to is the I could be off here just because it's a whole new study, but how the basically the how the tongue and jaw operate, etc. Is that the centerpiece of this therapeutic approach?
Well, the main goals of what I teach are like so simple. It should be what we all do anyway. It's nasal breathing, proper tongue position, proper swallowing pattern and lips together. That's really it. But if you have sleep apnea, you can start to improve your symptoms by doing those habits. So if you're an adult and you know you figure out that you have these myofunctional issues and you have sleep apnea, you can start to improve your symptoms, which is good because the traditional thing when you have sleep apnea is you need a CPAP machine, which means you have to sleep with this contraption on your face, and nobody wants that. I mean, nobody wants to have to sleep with a machine on their face at night. So, but of course, the CPAP industry is a big one, and I hate to sound cynical, but I know this is kind of stuff that you talk about in your perspective. But yeah, do you think that the people who make CPAPs and the doctors who do sleep studies really want people learning, oh, there's exercises you can do to improve your, you know, your symptoms? Probably not.
No. So, well, now it's making clear why I haven't heard about this shit. Mm-hmm. Why people don't talk about it. There's too many implications to where if it works. I mean, we can look at marijuana. We can look at a ton of other things about why it's kept hidden, why misinformation mm-hmm. is spewed out about it. And let's face it, right? I mean, I'm a person experiencing something like that. I want it to be more serious than other my tongue placement. I want it to be this diagnosis because it's not my fault. It's not my fault that this is happening to me. I can relate to that very much.
Yeah. And so, I mean, other than sleep apnea, it's a chronic fatigue thing. If you breathe through your mouth versus your nose, although you may at some point end up with sleep apnea, a lot of people just feel really tired and exhausted. And it has to do with oxygen levels. So if you are breathing through your mouth, you're taking in a higher volume of air, but you're not actually utilizing the oxygen as well. And that's because, and there's some scientific stuff behind this I probably won't explain very well, but if you want to look at the science behind it, look up something called Buteyko breathing. And what their theory is that high volume of air doesn't allow us to, basically, we have to build up a certain level of CO2 in our bloodstream in order to release the oxygen molecules from the hemoglobin when we go through that respiration system. So if you don't allow the CO2 to build up, you may be breathing a lot, but you're not actually absorbing a lot of the oxygen into your body. So, you know, some people start to feel tired, they go have a sleep study, they don't have sleep apnea, but, you know, they're kind of like, well, maybe I'm stressed, maybe it's hormone levels, maybe it's this, maybe it's just you're not getting enough oxygen and you don't know it. So, you know, there's other things too. Digestion is a big one. We have so many digestive issues. IBS,
they're huge right now. Yeah.
Food sensitivities, you know, everybody's looking at dairy and gluten and figuring out, you know, is this upsetting my stomach? What's wrong? Why do I have these digestive issues? For people I work with and, myself included as a kid, if you have a tongue thrust swallowing pattern, which comes from your tongue resting low in your mouth, you swallow little bits of air every time you eat and drink. And this can really cause digestion problems. So acid reflux in adults, stomach aches in kids, even babies.
Shit. Yeah, this is crazy. So just from my tongue placement.
Just from and improper swallowing. So when you have a low resting tongue, your tongue pushes forward rather than going up and back when you swallow. And because of that, there's air that goes down every time you're eating and drinking.
Is it weird? Like I'm like checking my tongue. I'm seeing how I swallow right now.
No,
I'm like totally investigating myself.
Welcome to my world. And plus I have to tell people when they're having these issues and they want me to assess them, I tell them it's their job now to become super aware. Like, where's your tongue inside your mouth? How are you swallowing? How are you breathing? These aren't things we naturally think about. So, getting yourself to think about it takes practice even.
Can you cover a little slower the poor swallowing issue, like the way the tongue flows, if you will? I don't know. Maybe you got a fake tongue over there, too.
No, I wish I did. That would be such a good demonstration tool. But so your tongue should be, the front should be still, and it should be somewhere along, like maybe your teeth, like maybe somewhere up there, like somewhere along the hard palate area, the teeth. And it should not push forward between or against your teeth. It should be still. From there, it's like a, I don't know if peristalsis is the right word, but it kind of makes this ripple. So,
Where it goes like a kind of, this is the front of my tooth, push
yeah,
the
it goes.
tooth, and I'm kind of gonna do like this motion. Yeah, hey
Exactly.
man, I got this
Good.
shit.
Yeah, exactly like
I've been doing that
that.
back in the day. Yeah, so it flows kind of like that,
It
but you're
should
saying
go
it.
front to back. And then when people have a tongue thrust swallowing pattern, basically their tongue is down low. You know, this is the roof of their mouth, their tongue is here, and it pushes forward. And it's sometimes they call it a reverse swallow, because it's you can see kids do it more than adults because kids kind of haven't learned that there's social stigmas around like chewing with your mouth open and eating really messy. And so you'll see kids really smacking their food, and sometimes you see their tongue kind of pushing forward. And I can't really demonstrate it. I wish I could give you a better visual, but the tongue wants to push forward. People might purse their lips. That might be another sign. Eating can be a big one for, I mean, think about it. If you can't breathe very well through your nose, it's a lot easier to chew with your mouth open. So I meet a lot of adults who tell me that they've
Nasty,
learned,
nasty motherfucker. Close your mouth when you're chewing, man. That's nasty.
yeah, well, it is, but sometimes, I mean, think about it. If you can't breathe, you're kind of in this position where you don't want to be nasty and
You're
chew
a
with your mouth
savage.
open.
Then you're just a
Yeah.
savage. You're just, come on,
You
man. That's
are.
disgusting.
I know, but it can be a real challenge for people. So
That's
if you
true.
can't breathe very well, a lot of adults who don't want to be, savages, they learn to hold their breath while they eat. And of course, that's not very healthy either. Or they
Sure.
learn to just eat really fast. So, they wolf down food, and then that doesn't help with digestion either. So, when you have that low resting tongue, you have really low muscle tone, and it's hard to chew and manipulate food and to chew enough. And so it's just a kind of a ripple effect of a lot of things that, if you don't have the muscles of your tongue and your mouth working correctly, it does affect the rest of your body. Our mouth is the very beginning of digestion, and if that's not working right, of course it's going to kind of, affect the other areas too. So.
Yeah, so if I'm someone who's coming to you, why for one would I be coming to you? What symptoms would I be showing that I'm going, man, I don't know what's wrong? We've touched base on a few of them, but walk me through like I'm the person, right? I would
Yeah,
call you because.
the biggest reason is orthodontic relapse. So somebody goes to their orthodontist and they say, "My teeth are crooked. I'm 30 and I had braces when I was a teenager, but my teeth have shifted and I don't understand why." And the orthodontist, kind of their traditional spiel is, "Well, you didn't wear your retainer." And but there's a few savvy ones out there, and they're getting more and more who realize, "Oh, you have a tongue thrust. Oh, you rest with your mouth open. So no matter what we do to your teeth with the braces, there's no balance. There's no foundation for putting the braces on top of. Your teeth are just going to collapse back in and revert back. And so we could do braces 50 times, and it doesn't matter, because if you don't address that underlying tongue issue, the tongue posture, your teeth are going to move no matter what. So
Well, right now
that's."
there's some parents freaking out that have paid $5,000 four times for dentistry going, holy shit, all I had to do was get a tongue therapist.
Yeah. Well, that's who I think that if this field were to grow, it's not actually ideal the way I'm doing it. I'm like basically a boutique type of therapist that is not super accessible to the average person. I mean, if you're just a mom taking your kids to the dentist, you should probably be getting myofunctional therapy there at the dental office as another service that the dentist can offer, or at the orthodontist office. It should be done there. But that takes a whole paradigm shift in dentistry of how do we start doing this therapy in an office. So that's part of what I'm trying to change, but
Well, that's what I want to help you change. I mean, we're trying to change the paradigm of mental health. You're changing the paradigm of dentistry. We got Naughty changing the
yeah,
paradigm
I
of fitness and therapy. A whole lot of the paradigm shifters
know.
over in this motherfucker. But I
I've had
mean,
good conversations with Naughty about this too. So he's like, "What? How?"
he's doing the same shit I'm doing, where he's like, "What the?" See, now when I raised up and I started talking, I was like, "Oh, hold on, man, is my shit straight?" I was like, "Wait a minute." Now I'm all tripping, man. So
No,
basically,
you're fine. You're
every
fine.
parent needs to really at least be looking into this if they're spending so much money. I love what you call it
Oh,
too.
yeah.
It's wait, what, hit me with the
Tongue
relapse
resting
or
posture or orthodontic relapse.
orthodontic relapse. That's fucking good. Basically, if you're
That's a
spending,
nice way of saying your teeth got messed up.
oh, okay. So that sounds to me as like you're addicted to the dentist, bro. Some shit's going wrong. So really the parents really need to be looking at this from the beginning and looking at their kids, not just going to the dentist and going, okay, buy more shit, fix more stuff. They really should be focusing on, and personally even, about tongue placement, how we swallow, how we actually, breathe, how we rest our mouths when we're relaxing. I mean, this exactly. takes some real self-diagnosis almost, some real awareness and even some humility to be like, holy shit, I do sit with my mouth open or whatnot.
Yeah, it's like I said, I was horrified when I found out I did that. I thought this is like, this can't be. but you'd be amazed. I mean, the story, I have so many people contact me every day saying, I have my mouth open, my tongue is low, I have all these issues. I've tried to figure out why I have jaw pain, why I have all these, you know, dental issues. It goes more. I mean, if your mouth is open.
Oh, sorry. You just excite me. You just excite me. I've seen some people dealing with a lot of jaw pain issues that they really, I see a lot more of that. I don't remember seeing that back in the day, but I see it a lot more now where people like, I have this intense pain in my jaw and they kind of deal with it or it comes and goes, et cetera. I see that. And this is where this comes from, is the poor positioning over time.
Yeah, it can be. So the biggest thing that I'm seeing, because TMJ pain, that temporomandibular joint, which is right by your ear, and for some people it pops or clicks or makes a grinding sound.
Yeah.
That joint, if your mouth is resting open, takes extra strain. And it should be, if your tongue is high and resting in that palate where it's supposed to go, the disc in that joint is in a stable resting position. So this can relate to physical therapists, and that's really a field that I'd like to start teaching and training, like physical therapists, I don't know, FP people, anybody who's trying to address what's going on with the jaw joint and head and neck posture. The tongue plays a big role in our posture. So if your tongue is low, you're more likely to have a forward head, and that makes, you know, your shoulders roll more forward. And
Whoa.
I mean, it's not just to like, oh, it's your tongue position. It sounds like such a like minor thing to think about, but it affects a lot of things.
No, my logical brain of chess playing has connected these dominoes. That's three different games I mentioned in one step. So no, I connected all that. I get it to where, I mean, posture all the way up to where we put it. I mean, look, our eyes, if you will, our eyelids are heavy enough. It's the joke is that when they start to close to pull your head down and they're heavy enough when you open to lean your head back. I mean, so why wouldn't the tongue placement? God, wow. It's a trip for me, man. So just resting it down would be holding it. What I pictured was this drawbridge halfway down and how much tension would be on the chains holding that drawbridge.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's exactly true. And I don't know, again, in dentistry, we see a lot of people with jaw pain, but our go-to treatment is, oh, you need a night guard. So we give them a night guard, which all that really does is protect their teeth. If they're clenching and grinding, it's not really helping that jaw joint. So,
and it pushes the tongue down, doesn't it?
No, a night guard is those things. It's like, you might have never seen one, but it basically is like a retainer. No, it goes, it's a thick thing. You have to like Google it or something. I don't know. A night guard, it goes on your teeth so that if you bite your teeth together, you can't grind them very well. So it goes along the occlusal or the chewing surfaces of the teeth. Are you Googling it?
No, I don't know what you mean. I don't know. I have no idea what you mean. If we only had a device to be able to look up. Now, yeah, I've definitely seen those before. So it does have the open space in the middle. You know,
yeah,
I was thinking about
some
of the snore ones that they have. Some of those snore ones sometimes that separate it that almost act like a whistle. That's for people can see.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think
that's a night guard.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a thick Invisalign retainer, if you've ever seen one of those Invisalign things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to choke on a mouthpiece when I'm sleeping either. but then again, here we are adding more stuff to, you know, a CPAP machine, a night guard. Mm-hmm. These are all these things that really aren't addressing the root of the problem, really just paying attention to symptoms.
Exactly. So if we could all just figure out, okay, if somebody has jaw pain or if they have sleep apnea, the first thing we check is, are they breathing through their nose and is their tongue in the roof of their mouth? If we could just look at that, it's so simple. I mean, it's actually so simple. We shouldn't need a therapist for it. We should all do it naturally. But like I said, that whole, our environmental influences over the past, I don't know, 100, 200 years have changed people's faces and breathing.
Well, how about this one? Mm-hmm. You ready to where you get this look? Where they're sitting on the phone, and you see people all the time. They're on the phone so much that the mouth just goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'll see it definitely. Drop, and they're just like that, just texting away or doing something like that. I mean, if you figure how much time on the phone, and if you sleep that way, you eat that way. I mean, I love how you connected
forward
it.
Head.
Yeah, the forward-leaning head, which then we'll bring Nadia on and talk about the posture issues of a forward-leaning head. I mean, so when all of that stuff happens, I mean, wow, this is – I don't think some people may not be able to hear it and really connect it as I see this shit is where I'm going all the way down. Like, that leads to depression, leads to – I mean, God, it can go so far.
It can go so far, and now they're finding out there's – I have to figure out the link a little bit more, but they're talking – about how vitamin D plays a role in like bone development and the development of the jaws, and like maybe there's these, you know, vitamin D deficiencies that are even like playing a role too. So I have to learn a little bit more about that. I just saw like a research article about it. So
I think I'm gonna have to bring everyone together here. We got Naudi, we got Dr. Jack Cruz talking about light implications. We got Dr. Rhonda Patrick talking about vitamin D implications and gut issues. We have Sarah Hornsby bringing in the tongue placement that leads to the posture where Natty would fill in. And then I'm just the guy who's in the back talking about your mental health, who's trying to tell you why you're all fucked up. And it's like the tongue, man, there's like a whole plethora of people that have been coming on here that like, we all got to get in a room together and just be like, all right, well, let's write something, you know, let's put something out here. Just get me excited. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's the problem that I feel every day just from the dental aspect. So I'm not an orthodontist. I can't move people's teeth. You know, I'm not an ENT. I can't tell you if you have large adenoids or if you have allergies or something like that. So I feel like a traffic controller sometimes when people come to me and they have all these issues. I'm like, okay, first we need to do that. You need to go see them. Then you need to do that. And, you know, for people who've had a low resting tongue for many years and they have a narrow palate, sometimes they need braces, and I don't even, you know, my traditional dental training is something that I struggle with. I kind of battle with like knowing there's more to it out there. Like going back to that root canal thing you're talking about, I learned that x-rays are totally fine. People who don't want x-rays, they're just crazy. You know, amalgam fillings are healthy and safe, and you know, we still use them and they're a standard of care. And I did amalgam filling. You know, I sat there mixing up mercury together and putting it in, you know, fake teeth and practicing, and I think, I don't know if I trust that. You know, that was my education, but I don't know if I trust my education in some ways. Like, I don't know that root canals are healthy. I don't think x-rays are healthy, and I don't think amalgam fillings are healthy, but this is the existing like standard of care. And so yeah, it's a whole.
I'm on the battle with you, because it's hard for me, you know, when I'm looking at what I'm trained, the take a pill for depression, you know, trade out pharmaceuticals, et cetera. When I look at that, it's hard for me to go, I don't fucking know. But then again, I do know they help some people. You know what I mean? Some
exactly.
people need this
yeah.
and need that, you know?
And so that's why, I don't ever want to tell somebody don't go get a root canal, because I'm like skeptical of it. But maybe some people need it and maybe some people really don't. I don't know. Like, I don't know the effect of like having heavy metals in your mouth. I mean, to me, it sounds like a bad idea, but I was told that it was okay. And you know, that there's tons of research, if you look it up, that says amalgam fillings are safe. And so it comes into braces too, which is kind of where I was leading. But standard orthodontic treatment is something I don't know is the best option for people. So I've been looking into appliances, and I work specifically with doctors who use these kind of outside the box methods of moving teeth that's taking into the account the whole face, the jaws, the head, the neck, everything. So there's an appliance, if anybody's listening, it's called an ALF, which I think stands for Advanced Light Wire Functional Appliance. I'm not sure, but if you can find somebody, if you're like, my kids need braces or I want to move my teeth, looking at something like that's a better option. There's also something called orthotropics versus orthodontics, and that's where they're basically looking for forward facial growth. So if your mouth is open, your face grows longer and down. If your mouth is closed, it should grow forward. So there's these orthodontists who are now looking more at, rather than just straightening teeth, let's look at what's going on with the growth and the shape of the face, because that's what's going to affect people later with breathing and sleep apnea. So yeah. Again, I didn't learn that in school, and nobody even mentioned those terms. And so I'm kind of in this field where I don't have all the answers, but I know there's a lot more out there. And I'm learning every day.
Yeah, well, we gotta be. I mean, how long has it been around? How long has the therapy been around? What, who was kind of, give me some history on this.
Yeah, it's actually the crazy part, and I kind of hate to admit it because I think, oh gosh, that's just bad marketing. It's been around since the 60s. And the original association that started this whole thing is called the IAOM. That's the International Association of Oral Facial Myology. And I don't know what happened. I don't know why there's not that many of us in the US. Other countries are more advanced. I think most of the research about this field comes out of Brazil. And you actually have to be like a PhD level, like speech pathologist in Brazil to do this therapy. A lot of research comes out of Italy and Europe and Australia. So it's one area where the US may not be the most advanced in.
Well, that this is the second time. The first one was stem cell research. We're so far behind Germany, Peru. I think he mentioned a couple other places. So now again here.
Yeah. So again, it's just there's a lot out there. I don't have all the answers, but I just know that there's definitely I focus on just educating patients and educating other healthcare providers because if people don't know about it, they can't get help and they can't get changes. They can't help themselves. And if they go ask their doctor and the doctors don't know about it, then they just think, oh, maybe I'm just weird, maybe I'm just crazy, maybe I'm just imagining this stuff. And that's, I think, the worst part is that there are plenty of people who go ask their doctors about their kids who breathe through their mouth, and the dentist or doctor says, oh, they'll grow out of it, it's fine. But really it's not fine, so
Well, when everything's a hammer, right? Everything's a fucking nail. So if I'm a dentist and you got pain back here, well, that's a fucking nail and I'm going to hit you with a root canal. I mean, and it's kind of what people say, right? So, like a doctor, if I don't have experience in what this is or if I don't know about it and it's simply to their own fault, they may, it's not their own fault, they just don't know about it. And
Exactly. Yeah, I don't like to say that doctors are doing bad things and they don't know anything. There's so much to learn, especially as like a general, like a medical doctor. Dentists, at least we can just focus on the mouth, but there's still so much about the mouth that it's really hard unless you continuously are out there looking at new research and new methods of treating people and new theories. It takes a pretty strong person to say, I've been practicing one way for 20 years, but now I just learned about this myofunctional therapy field, and I think I'm going to start, changing some of the things I do. Not a lot of people, I mean, whether they're doctors or dentists or just other regular people, that's hard. That takes a lot of like self-reflection and to say, I've been doing one way for so long, and then to actually be brave enough to change it is really hard. So.
yeah, so we were covering orthodontic relapse. I'm still sticking to that one. I love it.
You like that term?
Orthodontic relapse. So, what other symptom or issue may I be experiencing, or a parent may be taking their child through, etc., to where I'm sitting down in front of you?
A big one that I see a lot is people with jaw pain. So that TMJ joint, again, they come to me because they've had braces, they've been told they need surgeries. And they're like, I've been looking at this thing online called a tongue tie, and I think I might have it. So I would say that's a big one that people are really starting to look at. A lot of moms, who have young babies and they're trying to breastfeed and they're really having a tough time breastfeeding, they are going to lactation consultants and they're finding out, oh, your baby's tongue tied, you need to have this surgery. Well, because it's hereditary, the moms are trying to connect the dots and say, I think I have this, and no wonder I have chronic jaw pain and headaches and shoulder and neck tension. So I see a lot of moms with young babies who, once they find out their babies are tongue-tied, then they're finding out that they think they are. And so they're coming to me saying, first of all, am I tongue-tied? What do I do about it? And I heard I need to do these exercises to help with the recovery process. So can you help me? So that's a pretty big population of people that I see.
Okay, so what do I do? I am that person. I do have the tongue tie. Can you help me?
Yes, so I can never tell people. I mean, the TMJ and headaches are multifaceted. So
Sure.
I can never say, yes, I'll prove or I'll cure your symptoms. But I say, what I do know is that your tongue needs to rest in the roof of your mouth. And if it's resting in the right place, it's a lot more likely that you won't have these issues because you're tongue-tied, your tongue physically can't move into that correct position. So that's why a surgery is required. It's a very minor surgery that can be done with like a laser, and they actually either zap or snip underneath the tongue. And it sounds like freaky, right? It sounds crazy, but it's really simple. You don't have to have general anesthetic or anything. And the thing is, in order for it not to heal back down into place, that's where the exercises I teach come in. So I give them exercises before they have that procedure done, after to help with the healing, and then after it is healed, my job is to get them who, you know, if you think about never actually being able to move your tongue because it's got a physical problem with it, people don't know how to actually swallow the right way. They don't know how to rest their tongue the right way. So that's the exercises that I teach. And usually it takes, I would say, like 8 sessions or so to help somebody with that. And yeah, so it sounds weird, right?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't to me at all. I mean, frankly, once you cut it, it's almost like physical therapy, learning to walk
exactly.
again,
it
learning
is.
To rest mm-hmm. the tongue again, learning to go through that. I mean, if you spent, I'm 35 years old, if I had that issue and I spent 35 years with my tongue naturally falling in a place, I mean, I have to re-correct that. Hell, it's the same thing I face with clients and Dalamana Health Club is going, you've been thinking this way for 35 fucking years. I mean, don't think that in 2 days you're just going to all of a sudden, you know, think. It's not always about what you think, but how you think. And so the
oh,
same
I totally
idea.
Agree.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not the same
yeah.
idea here. It's not always about where the or what the tongue is doing, but where the tongue is and how you're using that tongue and where you're putting
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that's what I tell people all the time. You've been doing something one way your entire life. If it was easy, I wouldn't have a job. You know, there wouldn't be such thing as a myofunctional therapist if we could all just magically, oh, my tongue is down. I need to put it up high now. If it was that easy, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So lots of people try to like Google it and watch YouTube videos and they get frustrated. They're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm doing all the right things. I mean, there is a method to it. You know, changing your swallowing pattern, you can't just do in a day. It takes
what pattern?
Your swallowing pattern.
Oh, swallowing
so,
pattern. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought
so
I heard sawing. I thought I heard like sawing. I'm like, what the fuck? No, so yeah, the swallowing, dude, since we've started, Sarah, and you taught me that, I can't lie, in between about every time we're talking, I'm going, I'm swallowing like 8 times more than before, and I'm like, did my tongue flow the right way? I don't know. So now I don't know if I'm just putting it in the right spot because I'm talking to you, or if I catch myself when I'm really resting it.
I think you're fine. I don't see like a lot of the facial features that I see in people. It tends to be more... like I said, longer, narrower faces, people tend to kind of have like droopier or like sleepier looking eyes. Everything tends to be look like their whole face is more pulled downward.
Like someone's kind of pulling you everything this way.
Yeah, because if your mouth is open, all those muscles are just kind of hanging and being, there's no tone to them. So you don't see people's cheekbones as well. And these, I should say, I've worked on this, you know, since I figured out my own issues. My facial features have actually changed quite a bit, learning and to change some of these habits. So a lot of people contact me just purely based on cosmetic things. Like, I hate that I have, like, speaking of depression and, you know, some of the stuff that you do, I'm amazed how many men in their, I would say, college age, 18, 19, 20, 25, contact me saying, I hate how I look. I have a weak jaw, a weak chin. I want to have surgery. This is ruining my life. And my facial features are not considered basically what society sees as manly because I've got this weak chin and small jaw. And that's, you know, how can, and they want to know, are my exercises like the magic cure to their face shape? And that's really sad to me. I think, oh my gosh, there's so many people that just based on the purely, surface or superficial facial features that come along with a lot of these deeper health issues are what people do focus on, but that it can drive people to that kind of like sadness and depression over like how they look. So I hear that too.
Look what happens when some people go nuts with the Botox and the face slicing, and then they can no longer show emotion in their mouth anymore. You know, they're all just trying to get rid of that like crazy. So, I mean, I can even see where it would play into this, where the jaw pulling down may cause wrinkles in certain areas or cause the skin to look droopy. You would tend to look older, I think, than you normally
are. Yeah, you could. Or just tired. I mean, when you look tired and, you know, like probably because you are tired because of that whole oxygen thing and maybe you're on your way to developing sleep apnea. There's lots of different kind of aspects to it. But, yeah, when your facial muscles are all really low muscle tone and just kind of droopy. I meet a lot of women who have got Botox and, the lip fillers and stuff. And I guess maybe it's just like as society, I kind of expect that to happen more for the women. And so that's why it's the guys that contact me concerned about it that I really think, oh my gosh, I never would have thought they're concerned about this. But yeah, they are. And so I'm trying to find ways to make this field more accessible to people. I'm starting doing like a lot more videos. I'm starting to, rather than just working with me one-on-one, I just hired an associate. So she's somebody who can do the therapy at a slightly lower cost. I'm starting to do group programs online, because a lot of these people who contact me, they're 18 or, 22, and they don't have high paying jobs. And like I said, the field, I think, it's fairly expensive. I mean, the going rate to have like a half hour session of myofunctional therapy is like $200, So,
Shit, you're not gonna bill me for 400, right? We've been doing this an hour and change right now.
I do so much free stuff. Like you said, I offer free assessments and, when I meet people, I mean, I have people from India and Africa and all over the world who contact me. I know they can't afford to even, pay $200 to do anything, let alone work on their tongue posture. So, I teach as much as I can to people for free. But yeah, it's always that balance that's hard. So I want to help. I'm trying to like Ash is helping me. We're trying to write a book to get like if you can afford $8 and you can read through this book and
Well, anything I
help.
can do to help do that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I had an
Thank you.
interesting question. I'm not sure. We'll just ponder it together, but unless you have the answer. But I was wondering, as you were talking about other places, is if this is something that we see more affecting people in developed countries as opposed to either undeveloped countries. Is this more like a first world problem that's happening, not because it doesn't mean anything, but because of the epigenetic influences in those developed worlds?
It's totally a first world problem. So a lot of my patients are in the UK and Australia. When they're in other countries, if not the US. But what's happening is, as consumerism and, like globalization happens, people in, I get a lot of people contact me from India, probably because in India, a lot of people speak English. But now that the cities are growing so much and they have so much pollution, now this is becoming a problem that is in cities. So if these kids are growing up with asthma and they can't breathe through their nose and they have like really enlarged adenoids because of all the toxins they're breathing in all the time, now they're having these issues. So I'm sure it's happening in China and stuff like that too. But if you look at groups of people who still eat pretty traditional diets and live in, traditional village life, they don't need myofunctional therapy and they don't need braces and they don't have sleep apnea. So they've got strong square jaws, broad dental arches, or like the wide palate. Their tongues are all in the right places, and yeah, they don't need me. They're good to go.
That's interesting. That's almost scary. I read an article the other day too about how there were villagers that ate certain ways, where they were eating baboons and all kinds of crazy stuff that they weren't subjective to all these super bugs and bacterias and viruses, because all the different things they ingest and all the different bacterias they're taking in, et cetera. And then we're essentially is insulated from a lot of that, even growing up, et cetera. Your mom's always sanitizing your ass, right? Not me, but I grew up outside
Exactly.
covered in dirt, drinking hose water.
Me too.
Maybe that was the problem. I don't know. But I mean, outside of that, nowadays you see that wipe your hands, you have fucking hand sanitizers everywhere you look. And I'm wondering that insulation, that not allowing us to be human, if you will, the more comfort we get, it seems the more uncomfortable we find ourselves being.
Yeah, probably. And I think, I can even go into things like I've listened to some podcasts. I can't remember if it was Rhonda Patrick or who it was talking about the microbiome, not just in our gut, but like on our skin and in like everywhere. We have a microbiome in our mouth, in our eyes, in our hair, in our everything. And that has been affected. It's been like basically wiped out by what you're talking about. And yeah, it's got to have an effect on us. So I think these people who live in more traditional cultures and stuff, maybe they have some other problems, but they don't have a lot of these problems that we have as like first world, you know, hand sanitizing people. So it is interesting. I think there's definitely got to be a balance. Obviously, I'm not saying we should go back to like living in huts and stuff like that, but there's things that we can take away from looking at, you know, those type of lifestyles and saying, wow, maybe we're kind of messing up, you know, maybe, you know, it doesn't mean we need to go back in time and be cavemen, but maybe, you know, we can take some of that advice and use it for today. So.
Yeah, I would be a fan of going back to huts, at least trying. I don't know. I say that, but fuck, I need air conditioning and shit. I mean,
It's
sometimes
hard,
I trip, but I mean, well, you are a pioneer in this. You're out in the trenches. You're doing the thing. You're delivering it. You're growing it. Thank you for taking, I guess the chance on yourself and changing your career that day and spending the money on that little black and white ad in the back of the Holiday Inn and doing the thing, because you're out front of this. And one day, Sarah, there will be many behind you that will probably be doing podcasts and quoting you one day and saying, yeah, there's a researcher in a book named Sarah Hornsby. You can look her up. She did a great podcast on the Cognitive Rampage once before. And, you know, they're going to be talking about you like this. So I appreciate you being brave enough to leave a very comfy, cushy career that was killing you on the inside and knowing there had to be another way.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, it's hard. It hasn't been easy. And I mean, going through the process has changed me so much. I mean, being able to, I mean, look back and reflect on who I was before I started a business and really like, so the rest of that story is, I should say, I took that course and then
Oh,
I
yeah,
was still a
cool.
hygienist
I have
for a
nowhere to
few
go,
years.
so keep going.
I was still a hygienist for a few years. I was afraid to quit my job and just kind of jump off the cliff, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And so I thought, you know, I built it up in my mind. I'm like, I have some savings. I think I can do this. But my habits, my shopping habits, my spending habits, and you know, my lifestyle that I was used to being that, you know, hygienist making $45 an hour, and you know, I worked a lot. I think my first full paycheck, you know, was when I was a brand new hygienist, was like $87,000 for the year, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've made it. I bought a house. You know, I just thought, and I had to fill that house with stuff,
Let me compensate. Let me get
yeah,
all the
exactly.
shit. Yeah.
Because my work, and you know, I have no life, and I hate going to work every day. So I'm just gonna buy everything, and that should make me happy. So, you know, I would go on such huge shopping sprees. I mean, I was definitely retail therapy girl, because that's what you do on weekends when you work really hard all week, and then it's the weekend. You've got to have something to do with all that money you worked for. So, I would go, you know, spend, gosh. I'd be like, oh, I want this one pair of shoes, and I would go buy five, you know. So I'd go to Nordstrom and go buy all these shoes, and then I'd be like, well, okay, I've got all these shoes. Now I need to go, you know, to go. Now I need more outfits. Well, dental hygienists wear scrubs all day, so where am I going to wear all these outfits? So I had so many, like, you know, expensive clothes and shoes and stuff like that hanging in my closet with the tags on, because unless you're going to go out and, like, you know, dress up on the weekend, I mean, you kind of just want to relax, especially when you've been working a lot. So when do you ever wear all this clothes? So you know, I'm wearing yoga pants and stuff with all these expensive clothes in my closet. But I kept buying them. I kept buying more stuff for my house. And then I started to realize at some point it wasn't making me happy anymore. So that was like a big wake-up call for me. I just thought, and it was almost like my identity had been like stripped away. I was like, well, if buying stuff doesn't make me happy, then what's the point? What's the point of everything? And about that time, I was starting to think of quitting my job, and you know, I think I kind of thought, well, that won't make me happy. And but yeah, so I quit with all those, you know, bills and everything. And it was not an easy start, and it probably was a bad decision, you know, at first glance to quit. I ended up like racking up debt, you know, business debt, because I was like paying my mortgage on credit cards and, you know, just stupid stuff. And so it wasn't an easy place to start, but I learned a lot, and my back was up against the wall. And so I probably took chances, and I went and, you know, knocked on doors, and I wouldn't have done stuff that if I had that, you know, comfy, job waiting for me that I probably wouldn't have done. So, yeah, that was kind of the start. It was a rough start for sure. So it definitely it wasn't an easy thing, but it helped me learn really what is the value of my time. You know, what's the value? I learned the value of money by going into debt. I had no idea. And I don't think a lot of people understand, like, really what I had student loan debt, of course, and now I had my mortgage, and then I ended up getting business debt and like just bad management money type debt. And until I actually had to start paying that off, I didn't understand the value of money and like what is my time? Like, is $45 an hour really what I'm worth? Probably not. Like, what is it? What's your time? Like, what if you can walk on the beach every morning rather than commuting to a job? What is that worth to you? It's not worth $45 an hour. It's worth much more than that. So really kind of understanding what my time and my experiences are worth, having to pay off all that debt, which I did. Like, I'm actually debt free now. I haven't had student loan debt. I haven't had anything. It's amazing the changes I've gone through, but it wasn't just about myofunctional therapy. Like, all the stuff in the background was happening to me because of my, like, quitting my job and starting in this weird field. And that's probably what I'm most passionate about, and what I see myself doing someday would be like mentoring and coaching other women of how to start businesses, how to escape the 9 to 5, that kind of stuff. So that I think is the journey behind the, there's like layers of journeys going on, right? So yeah, I can't even explain it all. So I've just been rambling forever, but
No, that's called revealing your cognitive rampage right there.
yeah, exactly.
That's why I just sat back and said, go ahead, do your thing. And
Yeah.
so now, and just so everybody knows that you left all the materialism behind, which I know you've done. I happen to know that you're with Ashley, who's been on the show
Yeah,
before,
and he's
so.
always like minimalism, and I'm just like, don't, he always wants to categorize it and say like, oh yeah, we're minimalists and put this name on it and this label. I'm like, we don't have to call ourselves that, it makes sense. I mean, I agree with it, but so many people have different ideas and they project their own opinions on what that means. Like, oh, you have an iPhone 7. Like, aren't you a minimalist? Why do you have that? And
So is the closet still full of all those tag-filled clothes?
No. So that was a big thing that I let go of for sure. And I'm not perfect at it, and I think that's why I don't like to say I'm a minimalist. I have like so few clothes, I think, looking back at the girl I was and now I am. It's very freeing to have less stuff, and it's scary in a lot of ways too. And I still feel, I mean, I still have the self-conscious stuff come up, like if I have to go to like some fancy dental meeting or something, and I'm like, oh, I haven't put on like heels, and I haven't like, I don't know what the right style is, and I feel like very out of touch with that part of like the world, like I'm in Hawaii, I wear flip-flops every day. I don't usually put my makeup on and stuff. I don't usually do my hair unless I have to like talk on Skype or something like this, but yeah, I just don't do a lot of that stuff. So, but I feel so much better. It's not until I start getting around like kind of external things and like those old fears come back where I'm like, I start to sense myself like comparing to other people and like, oh, maybe I don't look the right way. And, but then I have to just kind of talk myself back and say, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, these external things really aren't what matters. Like, I'm much happier than I was when I had all those clothes and when I had, that type of lifestyle. And yeah, so I wouldn't go back to it, but I'm just saying I'm not perfect, that's for sure.
Well, you keep expressing the humility, but I think you're brave, and if I'm proud of what you did. I know
No,
Ashley
thanks.
is too, and that's a hard conversion to make. One I'm making as well, and I know a lot of people think about. And I think you're very empowering to not just women, but anybody else that's thinking about finding a different way, trying something harder. And if anything, you've given a lot of light to some people listening that may be at that 9 to 5, maybe in that planning mode of making that jump. And may be
Yeah.
afraid to. And even those ones that maybe have a closet full of clothes, they are either cleaning out or have been and trying to cross over. So your rampage is much appreciated. Your life and your work is well appreciated, and I think will be appreciated in the future much, much more.
Oh, thanks so much. That's really nice to hear. You know, it's not a fast thing. It's not like this happened overnight. I mean, this happened almost over a 10-year span. So, it's not just like a light switch went off and I was like, oh, today I'm like this, and yesterday I was like that. So, it's a learning process, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to share it if it helps anybody else. I mean, kind of hearing what I've gone through. And I don't like to try to hide that, you know, I think a lot of people who are out there talking about success and stuff, they make it look like it's so easy and, you know, like, oh, everybody should just be able to quit their job. And I did quit my job and it was hard, you know. And like I said, I went into debt and I don't try to like hide that or be in, you know, denial of that because, like I said, I didn't have anyone. I didn't know what it was like to run a business. I didn't have any experience, you know, having to quote unquote sell yourself. I had to learn just how to connect the same way that I did with my patients as a hygienist. The only way I sell stuff is just by connecting with people. I hate even saying the word sell. I just tell people that are my patients, you know, this is what you need. Whether you work with me or you find someone else or you do it on your own, please get the treatment you need because I'm just being honest with you. You need it, you know, so do something. And you know, I'd love to work with you, but you know, I understand that there's maybe other people or maybe you want to try it on your own and I just leave it and most people are like, yeah, I really want to work with you. So,
Well,
okay.
I know the only myofunctional therapist I'll be referring to. Where can people find you and look you up, book you, do all the stuff? Where can they get the treatment?
So my practice, my business where I see patients is called Faceology. So the website is myfaceology.com. And then if you are a dental person or another hygienist or, you know, somebody interested in the education side, my other business, if you want to say that, is it's called myomentor.com. So that's MYOMENTOR. And that's kind of my training branch. And like I said, I've been talking with Naudi about this stuff. I'm trying to figure out how can I offer a course that's more geared towards, I don't even know the term, body workers. Anybody who's like an FP person, a physical therapist, somebody looking at how is the tongue involved in posture. That's something I really want to delve into as well. So it's all coming. I'll get there.
Of course you will. You got here in over a short period of time too. So again, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for coming on and sharing this. I'm probably now forever going to be checking my tongue, my jawline, and where I'm resting it at, and how I swallow now, at least for a little while. So,
And you'll be noticing on everyone else too. So I think I drive Ash
hold on,
crazy
man.
because no,
Swallow. I don't know
it's
if I can
a
trust you.
I see people on TV all the time, like, oh my gosh, they need myofunctional therapy. And they're like, you know, celebrities or they're people in commercials or people, you know, extras or whatever.
You're screwed, man. That's it. Everything you look at, you're like, your face is fucked. I like it, man. I thank you so much. And
Oh, you're welcome.
as you learn more and you grow in the field and the industry, if there's some breakthroughs or some new stuff that expands, please call me and let's talk about it and bring it to some people.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to. That'd be really fun. And yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This has been a lot of fun. And now you get to see the other side. I know everybody knows a lot about Ash, at least in like between you and Naudi and the FP people, because he's pretty active in like the groups and stuff. But yeah, I'm the other half of that. So here
Ash and Sarah finally showing up. Maybe we'll do a podcast together. Actually, I'd like to actually talk to you guys together to talk about, because you guys travel a lot together. You're basically nomads. You're basically,
Yeah.
well, I'm gonna say it, you're minimalist. So you're new age minimalist. How about that? You're new age
Yeah.
business owner minimalist.
Yeah, we have stuff. It's just yeah, it's a little different.
Well, I'd love to maybe to have you guys on and talk about that relationship, even what it's like
Yeah,
traveling
that'd be
together,
really fun.
working together, et cetera. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a whole different story. I mean, Ash and I are like the first we wanted to write a book, and maybe we should just save this for another time, but we wanted to write a book called 365 because for the first year we knew each other, we never spent one day and one night apart. Well, I shouldn't say that's entirely true. Maybe the
Aww.
first year we started dating, because when we first met, obviously we weren't together every day, every night, but
Oh, I'm getting
it's
all
not
the
actually
clip.
that romantic. It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, for me more than him, I was always like, I need space. Like, I would close the door and I would be like, I just need to sit in here, like, you know, can I just have some time by myself? And he'd be like, what? You don't want to be around me? I'm like, it's not that. Like, I need space. So,
and,
yeah,
all right, we got to stop there because we got to have Ashley's side of the story, too, when we're sitting down. That's not fair.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
not fair. So we'll do that one. But I look forward to that. And we'll chat about your book, too. I like the idea of it. That's cool. Thanks
Yeah.
again for doing this, Sarah.
Oh, you're welcome. All
Take
right.
care.
Well, thanks. Bye.
Bye.